Alex, I believe I have reached the equivalent of nirvana.
Tell me more.
Well, I have been sleeping on my cozy earth sheets.
Wow.
And when I get up in the morning, I put on my fantastic jogger suit.
Yes.
Which is a funny way to put it, but you started saying that, so I'm just going to keep on going. And it is opening my mind to things I didn't know I could open my mind to.
Casey, all I have to say is, welcome to the other side.
It's incredible, Alex.
I've lived two lives. One of them is before Cozy Earth, and one is after.
Which is right now.
That's right. We're talking Cozy Earth. They make incredible, soft, lovely, temperature-controlled bedding and cozy wear.
Cozy Earth makes the best clothes I think I've ever touched, that have ever touched my skin.
Casey, I'm right there with you.
It's soft, it's breathable, it's temperature regulated, it looks good, it feels good, which makes it good.
And how about this for good? All of their products come with a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty. So if for some completely batshit reason you don't love these sheets, you can return them.
Now, Alex, right around the corner is Mother's Day. If you haven't already done something, which you should have,
yeah,
now's your moment. Go buy your mom some Cozy Earth, because it is the thing that will help her sleep at night. It's the thing that will help keep her comfortable at all moments of her life. And that's what you want for your mom.
So she isn't up all night thinking about what a disappointment her children are.
Exactly, because they didn't get her Cozy Earth. You don't want to be on that level.
Well, Casey, here's some exciting news. All Completely Arbitrary listeners get 35% off at CozyEarth.com with promo code TREES. Again, that's promo code TREES, T-R-E-E-S, for 35% off at Cozy Earth. So get yourself cozy. Get your mom cozy. Hell, get your dad cozy and your friends cozy.
Yeah, it doesn't have to stop there, you know?
Make the earth cozy with Cozy Earth.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
What's up, Fungal Associates? Welcome to Completely Arbitrary. It's the podcast about trees and other related topics. I am one of your hosts. My name is Alex Croson.
I'm another one of your hosts. I'm Casey Clapp. The news today, did you hear? 12:30. Alex, you were featured on the radio.
Yes, Casey.
Was so exciting.
You came over and I was on the radio today. We sat and listened to it. It was very exciting.
Now, for those of you who don't know, the radio is that thing that you can tune into via your computer called a live stream.
Mm.
It also plays through the airwaves. You hear it in your car when you forget to put the aux button on or the Bluetooth.
It's kind of like the original iPod.
Exactly. We make references to this all the time when we say this is a radio show. That is what we're talking about. you were on Kink FM, your newest single.
Yeah.
That just got released was on there.
Yeah.
What was the name of it? Tell us all about it.
It's called Goddess of Dawn.
Yeah.
You can go listen to it on Spotify, by the way.
Right now?
Last week, as of this release date of this podcast, last week, my song Tabitha came out as well. And my EP comes out in a couple short weeks.
A couple short weeks. Everyone, we will tell you about it. Go find it on the internet. You can pre-save it. Is that
that's right. Yeah.
Pre-subscribe.
Uh-huh. If you go on my Instagram at Alex Croson, Crowson, C-R-O-W-S-O-N, go to my link tree in there, my bio.
You can pre-save all these things. I think that helps me in some way.
I'm sure it does. If anything, the algorithm is fed and all hail.
Yeah, it'll show up. Here's what it does. It'll show up on your release radar on Spotify.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, so you'll see it the first day it comes out.
It'll be like, hey, and when you inevitably come to town on a tour, it'd be like, hey, you like this person. They're coming to town.
That's right.
I see. Well, congratulations, Alex. It's very exciting.
Thanks, Casey. That was really fun. That's something I've wanted since I was a kid.
Yeah, I mean, it's even though it's a dead enterprise,
yes,
it's still really exciting.
That's a good point. It's an old, outdated dream that doesn't really apply anymore, but yeah. it came true today. So that was pretty cool.
It's like someone in the 60s being like, I got a telegraph.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, who cares?
It's like, I want to meet Elvis Presley. And it's like, well, the best you can do is go to his grave.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, sure. It's still cool.
Still cool. It's still pretty cool.
Casey, thanks for the plug, my man.
Oh, of course.
Today we are talking about a tree.
Yes, we certainly are.
This one, boy oh boy, is this Latin name a doozy.
Yeah, give us your best shot.
All right. Araucaria. I want to say like ollie ollie oxen free. Araucarioxylin or Araucariozylon arizonicum.
That's right. Well done. I've also seen an Arizonsense, something like that.
Arizonensia?
Not even NCA, just ints. Arizonans.
Arizonans.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
That's not Arizonicum is very snappy.
Yeah, I like it. I like it as well. And there's something with Latin where like if the first one ends with an A, then the next one has to end with an A. It's like feminine, masculine kind of things.
Oh, sure.
A lot of Latin-based words or languages.
I see.
So in this case, I have heard where like other things that end with Achia with an A at the end, then it would be Arizonica rather than Arizona cum.
Ah, so this one's male because it ends in cum?
I assume so, Alex, and that is why we all speak Latin.
Oh, I couldn't resist, Casey.
No, you can't. I mean, no one can. No one should.
Got a few common names for this one. We're calling it the rainbow wood.
Yes, exactly.
We'll talk more about that rainbow wood coming up.
Yes, we sure will.
But Casey.
Yes.
Let's imagine, as we do every episode, that you and I, how about this? Maybe you and I are walking through. This is an old tree. I know that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Very, 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 very. I'm not talking like grandpa old.
Yeah.
I'm talking like caveman old.
Yes.
Like even before caveman old.
Yeah, it's a cave dinosaur old.
As we all know, cavemen walked among the dinosaurs.
It's very true. It's a fact.
Let's imagine that you and I walking through a Triassic landscape. We're shitting ourselves. This place is terrifying.
It's very scary.
There's mosquitoes the size of a bus. And we come across some rainbow wood trees.
Yeah.
Let us Wow, I almost completely forgot my normal thing and I said, let us discuss.
Oh.
But rather.
Are you doing another podcast where you're discussing something?
it's the same formula. I just changed the keywords.
What is that podcast called?
Casey, let's ID this tree.
All right. Alex, today our conifer is extremely unique.
Conifer.
It is a conifer.
Great.
It is a conifer tree. It's gorgeous. And there's nothing else quite like it around today. Its closest relatives are in the Araucariaceae. It is the monkey puzzle, the Wollemia, the Norfolk Island pine.
Wollemia.
Yes.
Is that Wollemi?
That is the Wollemi pine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Its Latin name?
Yeah, I prefer calling it the Wollemi or Wollemia, excuse me. Sometimes you have to like move those syllables around. Because with the pine at the end of it, I just don't like that. I'd rather call it Wollemia rather than Wollemi pine.
Okay.
Because it's not pine. It's like nowhere close to a pine.
Oh, it's like Douglas fir.
Yeah, it's like an ancient tree that's nowhere near it. It's in a completely different family like even more ancient than the pines. I just want to give it its own credit and use the indigenous name. So I'm going to go with it.
Hey, fair enough.
Okay. Those trees on the Araucariaceae, the family that our rainbow wood is also in. Now, generally, you'll find all the Araucaria, Alex, down in the southern hemisphere. But our tree is actually found up in the northern hemisphere in warmer northern climes today among a bunch of other ancient conifers like Woodworthia arizonica and Childeria adamantica.
Childeria.
Yeah, and isn't that a pretty cool name?
That definitely, you know, the moment you said that, I thought, hey, that sounds like a a like continent in the Elder Scrolls.
Oh,
universe.
Yeah, yeah. Another like ancient thing that you'd have to like dust off and like maybe find and like kind of move the sand around and be like, oh my God, it's been buried and ancient for so long.
Like it's right. Well, no more like it's right next to Skyrim. And
oh, okay.
The right. Plains of Oblivion.
I was thinking more like some ancient thing you'd find in a cave that was dug by the dwarfs.
You thought I was saying actual Elder Scrolls. Like,
yes.
Old Scrolls.
Correct.
Elder Scrolls is a video game series.
Oh, no.
Have you heard of Oblivion and Skyrim? Surely you've
heard
of Skyrim.
Yes, I have heard of those.
Yeah, those are Elder Scrolls games.
Oh.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Wow, we just had a clashing of worlds there.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, yeah. I took that what you said very literally, and I shouldn't have.
It's like a high-speed accident of worlds.
Yeah, it really was. Everyone's okay, though. We were all buckled in. So our tree developed and grew at its height around 200 million years ago.
That's an old tree.
It's an old tree. And this is like the late Triassic period. And it grew along the west coast of Pangaea. You remember what Pangaea is?
Yeah. I like calling it Panija, like the Ooh. Kid from those TikToks.
I haven't seen this, but I love
Oh,
that.
Casey. He's the best. His name is Dylan.
What does Dylan say?
Dylan talks about Komodo dragons.
Okay.
And the interviewer... Recess therapy, I think.
Yeah.
He says, what would you say to a Komodo dragon if he said, I love you? And Dylan says, I think I would just say, thank you.
I think I'd just say, thank you.
Dylan's so adorable.
Wouldn't say, I love you back.
Yeah, but he says that they lived in Pangaea.
Pangaea. Okay, that's good, though.
Which is
okay.
What I call Pangaea.
In this case, yes, it was on the west coast of Pangaea.
So it grows more latitudinally up. North is what we call that.
Well, not quite, Alex.
Then it's cousins.
So we're talking about like the height of this tree's existence.
Oh, okay.
At that point, Pangaea was actually kind of centered over the equator, so it was within about 18 degrees of the equator. It was all mashed right there together. So where you can find this tree now is in warmer climes. And that is because all of the continents have switched and moved apart and then moved up further north.
Gotcha. Exactly. So it's just going along for the ride.
It's just going along for the ride, yeah. Okay. So way back in the Triassic, it was in these forests that were covered in tree ferns, in cycads, and early vascular and non-vascular plants.
Hmm.
Like things that have developed. It, you know, like you remember it, when you were a kid, they were like, we have horsetails that were as tall as redwoods and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Now horsetails are like this little diminutive plant.
Right.
That same kind of thing happened. There was non-vascular plants that were gigantic and huge, which today we call club mosses, and they're just like maybe 2 inches tall.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty weird stuff.
Oy.
Hey, but you know what? Everyone kind of, you know, does their things. You have your triceratops back then, and now you're a chicken.
Well,
evolution sometimes does funny things. Well, funny enough, there were dinosaurs that were living in this place at that time. You can imagine the earliest mammals and dinosaurs slinking around these forests. That's where these trees were growing at their absolute height.
Wow.
Like the Dawn Redwood kind of was, but Dawn Redwood was way higher up in latitudes at that point. They were taking those more north and more southern kind of areas.
Okay, so speaking of at its height, let's talk about the details of this bad boy.
All right, that sounds good. So the form of this tree is the way you would expect for any other tree. The big difference is the branches are not whirled, and they are not pseudo-whirled. Do you know what a whirl is in the terms that we're using?
I guess it's sort of like, it reminds me of like oppositely arranged, but it like in a circumference way.
Yeah, totally.
The branches grow alternately up the trunk in a whirl.
Oh, you are actually right in a couple different ways, but you're also wrong in as many different ways.
Hey, that's going on my headstone when
better.
I die.
Right in as many ways as he was wrong.
that's sort of my personality, Casey. I think you just summed me up pretty good.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I know you, man. I know you. So a whorl is where you have like three or more nodes or new branches coming out from the same spot.
Oh.
And so in a conifer, that would be where you're looking at a pine tree, let's say, and you see like this section of branches that grows out, and then there's like this foot or so of just trunk, and then another section of branches, then a foot or so, then just branches, right?
Yeah.
So those, we call them whorls, but in a very technical sense, they're pseudo-whorls, where, and this is where you're right in the other way, where a... they are actually spiraled up the stem, but they were all set so close in that spiral that they're essentially the same spot.
How are you spelling whorl?
This is W-H-O-R-L.
Oh, W-H-O. I was saying W-H-I, like whorl.
Oh, my God. I see. Okay.
This is funny. This is a little who's on first situation.
This is it. I'm like, Alex, it's not a whorl. You're saying, it's literally a whorl, Casey.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Well, as our whorls collide, we will keep moving on. So the thing about archery.
Top 10.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. I was hoping that was going to be good. I hope there's someone out there rating our jokes, and if we do have a top 10 jokes that the most people laughed at.
It's me.
It is. Okay. All right. Sweet. Well, glad we got another top 10. Sucks you ever got pushed to number 11.
We have officially two of them in the top 10.
Oh, dang. So if you're looking at our rainbow wood, the branches will not be coming out at these nice, easy whorls.
Hmm.
What you'll find is that there's a branch over here, then a branch over there, then a branch over there, then a branch over here, then a branch over there, then a branch over here, branch over there. They're kind of randomly, irregularly distributed up the stem.
How strange.
So it doesn't have this like very obvious pattern of growth where you say, okay, there's a year, there's another year, there's another year, where you have these things coming out, growth up, things coming out, growth up. In a pine tree, you can count from the top, and if you can see all these branches coming down in these whorls, we're just going to say whorls, even if they're pseudo whorls, to be very clear. If you count 20, then you say, oh, that's a 20-year-old pine, or at least it's a fairly good estimate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because each year, those buds get put out left and right, and then the new shoot grows up and sets another round of buds. Then the next year, those pop and do the same thing.
Okay, so that feels very unique in terms of the trees that we've discussed in the past, where like everything seems so ordered, and like we have two types of order, oppositely arranged and the other one
alternately
arranged. But this is like somebody just like took branches and like smushed them on, like, yeah, here's this should have one here.
Exactly. It's like as it's growing up, it's like, okay, now over here, now over there, and it's just kind of like so haphazard. And you know what, Alex, it's a primitive tree.
Yeah,
so it makes you think, yeah, this is there's no organization.
Wow.
It was just like, put a branch on, I don't care, wherever.
This is pre-civilization.
This is exactly that. This is a tree that had no, this is a cave tree.
Wow.
Yeah. So that is like something that's really unique. When you're looking at the wood, you find that it has this extremely unique kind of irregularity with its crown. Now, at the end of these branches, you'll find the leaves. Imagine that the leaves are unlike any conifer you can imagine today.
Okay.
Not like a pine, not like a spruce, not like a fir, more like Araucarias. Of course, it's in this family, right? It's named after Araucarias.
So these sort of like scale-like, but like big-ass scales.
Yeah, exactly.
Dragon scales.
You remember the cowrie tree that we did, Agathis australis?
Yes.
Those leaves, they look like little paddles, like little ends of canoes or something like that.
Canoe
paddles. It's kind of like that, where you have to imagine these trees having these weird, irregular crowns with these weird paddle-shaped leaves coming out all over the place. And you'd be like, wow, that is a tree that doesn't make any sense. It looks like a tree you'd find in some diorama of what it used to look like back in the days of the dinosaur. You know what I mean?
Right.
These weird tree ferns and these weird leaves that are unlike anything you've ever seen.
So, Casey, this wacky ancient tree, we call it the rainbow wood.
That's right.
And I'm assuming that that comes from the actual colors of the wood. Hey, you know what? We also did the rainbow eucalyptus.
Ah, yes.
We have not covered the rainbow eucalyptus.
I was going to say, ah, yes, and then say, oh, wait.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. So wait.
We had that immediately.
Yes. Not. We have not covered the rainbow eucalyptus. I think it's on our radar.
I think it is. Oh, 100%.
But this is not rainbow bark. This is rainbow wood.
Exactly. Now, when you find the wood of this tree, it's unlike anything you've ever seen. It has a bunch of different colors that are all based on the minerals around that tree. So sometimes it can be red. Sometimes it can be kind of pinkish white. Sometimes it can be a dark black, bluish kind of color. Sometimes it can be a little bit green, depending on if there's different chemicals in the soil around where this tree is found.
Interesting.
Yeah, and similar to the Don Redwood, you can find fossils of this, and the colors are all there in the fossils.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, in fact, it's the fossil, state fossil of Arizona.
Of Arizona?
Yes.
Is that where we get the name?
I don't think it is.
What?
Yeah, I'm not sure why. No, I actually asked about this. I believe it means arid zone. It's in Spanish, though.
For real?
Yeah. Because
that's
I was
not
curious.
Where we get the name of this. I thought you were being cheeky.
What? Oh gosh, I am sorry. Arizona, come.
Oh,
yeah.
You were being cheeky.
By accident.
Oh, geez.
I didn't have any idea, Alex.
Oh wow, no, an accidental cheekiness.
An accidental cheekiness. Okay. Now the wood, though. We should go back to this. It is the name of the tree is Araucaria xylon, and that is essentially Araucaria wood. The wood is of Araucaria. It looks just like it.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so that's another thing you can look at, and you're like, wow, this wood is the same wood as all the rest of these trees that we know about, that we can find all over the place. So it's really interesting to kind of pair those things together and say, wow, I can just tell by the wood that this is a tree related to all these other trees, and so that's how it gets its name.
Very interesting.
Yeah, so there you go. It's the Araucaria wood tree from Arizona.
Of the rainbow persuasion.
Exactly.
That sounds like I'm calling it gay. That's what your uncle would call being
exactly.
gay.
Exactly. I was going to say, yeah. Now, are you of the rainbow persuasion? Just asking.
Casey, we have lots more to talk about with this tree, and particularly the wood, and particularly some fossil action.
Exactly.
You know I love some fossil action.
I sure do.
If you can make it easier for me than my geology teacher at the University of Oregon, I'd be really appreciative.
All right. Yeah, I'll try my best.
We'll do it. But we can't talk about all that shit until we take a break. More Completely Arbitrary right after this.
You know, here I am at the ripe old age of 35. And one thing that has become really important to me just over the last couple of years is privacy. Besides what I tell you here on the podcast, I basically don't want anyone to know anything about me unless I choose to tell them. And one way I up my privacy game is with NordVPN. Now, if you are like me and didn't know what a VPN was until a couple of weeks ago, let me tell you, a VPN is a virtual private network. And I said to myself, well, sure, that sounds cool, but I really don't know what it is or does. And then the moment I turned it on, I said, I get it now. A VPN changes your IP address, hides your virtual location, and encrypts your connection, which allows you to increase your privacy online. How many times per day do you get scam calls or spam email because your data got leaked somehow? I also get emails from companies saying, hey, I see you bought something with us recently. Unfortunately, we got hacked and your data is now being used to harm you. With a VPN, you do not have to worry about any of this. It secures you when you're using public Wi-Fi. It stops marketers and internet service providers from tracking and collecting your browsing history and your messages and lots of other private data. And you can change your location to any of hundreds of countries, unlocking the power of, I don't know, say, British Netflix. I didn't know how important it was until I started using one. That's the truth. So if you just want to check out the features and see if it's right for you, I bet there's something about a VPN that will surprise you. So get started with NordVPN at nordvpn.com/trees. That's nordvpn.com/trees. It's risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and the link is in the description. Now go get secure. Hey, let me ask you this. You ever taken a walk and just felt inspired? Maybe you discovered your new favorite restaurant, or popped into the library and found a book that you really wanted to read, or you're like, hey, I think this car dealership used to be a Taco Bell. Well, there's a podcast about this kind of thing now with comedian and actor Alan McLeod, one of the funniest guys. It's called Walking About. It's a new podcast that treks into the simple joy of walking and its connections to health, history, creativity, and of course, community. In each episode, Alan invites a friend to share a little stroll and see where the sidewalk takes him. Alan McLeod has guests including Mike Mitchell, Spoon Man, Spoon Nation for Life. You got Colton Dunn. You got Janet Varney, Eva Anderson, Whitmer Thomas, Gabrus, Ed Begley Jr., Catherine Spears, Andy Richter, and of course, Burger Boy, Nick Weiger. Some of the funniest people. You know this podcast is going to be an absolute hoot. Maybe you could even listen to it while you're taking your walks. So lace up your podcasting shoes and listen to Walking About, out now, wherever you get your pods.
Welcome back to Completely Arbitrary. Today we're talking Aracariazylon arazaconanum.
That's the one. Sometimes I just don't know. You have an innate means in your brain of saying scientific names of
this
things.
Is what happens when I don't look at it while I'm reading.
Yeah, that is very true. But I appreciate that you make eye contact with me and just try to remember. Thank you.
Anytime anybody points out me making eye contact, I find it very hard to make eye contact.
Yeah, that's when I usually kind of focus on it so that they know that I'm focusing on it.
That's and such then an just alpha like, move.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Casey is staring at me.
Sorry, Alex. Sorry.
Casey, we mentioned fossils in our first half of this episode.
Yeah.
And we're gonna dive into some fossil talk here.
Yep.
Hopefully it doesn't bore us so much that it turns us into fossils.
Oh my God.
Wouldn't that be so silly?
That's really funny.
That would be a real Halloween miracle.
Yeah, it would. It's very what's her name? Gorgonian-ish.
Gorgonian.
Yeah, it's
Oh.
Not Methuselah. Oh my gosh. Medusa.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, turning right to stone. I also want to mention,
please,
that Halloween is in a few short days.
Oh, that's right.
If you celebrate, happy Halloween.
There you go.
And I wish I would have done this up front, a little smoother, but this is our Halloween episode.
Oh, jeez. Well, that's okay. So, slide in the back door. Everyone's kind of like, oh yeah, okay, sure enough it is.
So all I have to say to our fungal associates is, boo.
It's very spooky, man. You made me shake.
Do you remember those things from the 90s that our moms would hang in the entryway to our homes?
Uh-huh.
And it'd be like,
oh yeah.
And it would like shake around.
You'd shake like a little witch or something.
I hated that shit.
Oh yeah, it's very spooky.
So spooky.
Yeah, gotcha.
It would really startle you.
Yeah, I never really was affected by that. I just didn't go to those houses.
Were you a Halloween child? Did you love Halloween?
Yeah, I think so, because you got candy all the time.
Yeah,
and I like to dress up and do things, but after a while, like maybe sometime in college, I was just like, I just can't. There's so much to do it, and I wouldn't get a costume until like the day before,
right?
Or I wouldn't even think about it. Like even this year, I still don't know what I'm doing, and I'm going to a themed frisbee tournament. I already know what the theme is. I just haven't put any effort towards it.
What's the theme?
We are the Bear Witch Project.
I'll help you.
Yeah, okay, thanks. I really appreciate that. We'll take pictures. We'll show everyone.
I was not a fan of Halloween as a child. Mm. I thought it was too scary.
Yeah.
And I hated the smell of Halloween.
Really?
To me, it smelled like the inside of a rubber mask. Like, I just didn't like that smell. Like,
yeah.
It's like kind of sweaty, kind of plasticky.
Yeah.
And then, like, you couldn't see anybody's faces, and everybody looked different, and it just made me very uncomfortable.
Interesting.
But I know there are people who Halloween is, like, their personality.
This is, like, the day they've been looking forwards to it since last November.
Yeah.
I think that's very fair. I know a lot of people are the same. One of my good friends, Fungal Associate Alex, her birthday is on Halloween.
It's wow.
By far her favorite day.
How spooky.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Alex.
Oh, her name is Alex.
Yes. Yeah. Not
well,
you.
Shit.
Different Fungal Associate.
Happy birthday, Alex. And to you, I say, boo. That was just for you. The other one, everybody has to share.
Yeah, the other one is, yeah, that's for everybody. So if you just heard that, turn your radio off and then turn it back on after like 3 seconds.
Casey, let's get into some fossil talk.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about finding trees and finding things in, say, the fossil record.
Yeah.
So what we want to do today is our spookiness is talking about what it means to be petrified.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So petrified wood and the tree, of course, that we're talking about, we have found lots of it as petrified wood.
Because it's so old.
Exactly. We've also found so many of the dawn redwood in petrified form.
Yes.
We found fruit, we found leaves, we found everything, and it is all a fossilized version of something that either exists today or existed many, many years ago, and we just find it in these rocks.
Right. So like, you know, we talked about ginkgos and dawn redwoods being living fossils because they exist today.
Exactly.
And we have them... We have like fossilized records of them.
Yeah, so we know how old they are as a species.
Right, so this rainbow wood is sort of like that.
Exactly, okay. Sort of.
Yeah.
Now, the process of petrification or petrifaction is pretty interesting. I know, I learned that there's a term for it, but everyone just says petrification rather than petrifaction.
Petrifaction is correct?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're both correct because I think one's used so often where everyone's like, yeah, that's the same thing. We're just going to make it another word for it.
Got it.
So there's a couple different kinds of fossils, and there are, in the broadest sense, a fossil is just evidence of a living thing in rocks.
Okay.
And the big thing that I wanted to talk about today is petrified wood specifically.
Mm.
Now, petrified wood is you are walking down in the desert somewhere, say in Arizona. You find this weird looking rock and you pick it up and it's really heavy, like kind of like super heavy for the size. And you're like, why is this so heavy and so dense? And you look at it and it looks just like a piece of wood. It's got the same lines of grain. If you look at the top, you can see the growth rings. You look on the outside, you can see what looks like crack in the wood. Sometimes you can even find bark, actually what looks like bark. But then you like knock on it with your hand and you're just like, this is a rock. That is petrified wood. It is no longer wood, but it is exactly a model of what wood looked like in situ millions and millions of years ago.
It's like a mold.
Well, so right? It's not quite. That's another kind of fossil.
Oh.
Let's talk about that one first, though.
Okay.
So if you are a leaf from an oak tree, you flutter around, you land on the surface of some water. Over time, you sink. That oak leaf sinks to the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one sinks, and another one does it. And you have this happen literally millions of times over millions of years.
Whoa.
You get sediment growing and coming in on top of that, so you get little bits of sand and dust and soil and all these things, and they kind of pile up on top of each other for, again, millions and millions of years. Maybe this water completely dries up and goes away, then other things blowing over the top of it, and you get this mud thing, and you get a little bit of other stuff, and then tectonic plates, and then now you have this gigantic compressed section of leaves and organic material and mud. It used to be, say, 20 feet thick. It gets compressed all the way down to like 2 inches thick.
Oh.
And this happens over millions of years, millions of times, and you get these gigantic layers of stuff.
Is that like, I think I know the answer to this question. It's okay. Yes, but like when you go to like, you know, Arizona.
Yeah.
Come, or like Utah, you see like the line, the lines of color in the rocks.
Exactly.
That's
yeah.
what those are, right?
Precisely.
They're like tree growth rings in the soil, in the earth.
Yeah, but those are geologic layers where one is a sedimentary kind of rock, like let's say it's ash comes down. Then a bunch of other stuff grows on top of that. Maybe it becomes fertile for a second. You get this big layer of something else, mud. You know, you name it. It's just layers upon layers of different rocks deposited in some way that then get compressed and pushed into another kind of rock.
Mm-hmm.
So this geologic layering, these things that you can see, sometimes They happen in a situation where plant matter or other living kinds of things get into there. So like our leaf example we were just using, if those leaves are pressed and pushed together and then you add a little bit of heat, you add a little bit of pressure, maybe add a little bit of water seeping through over very, very slowly over millions of years, you end up having a mold of that leaf where all the organic material essentially gets broken down into nothing and kind of gets leached and washed away. But the space that it took up remains in the rock, that pressed leaf formation.
Oh.
Then other stuff comes on top of it. And then if you come with a little hammer, you knock into it, you break apart those layers, you can find those impressions of the leaves. That impression is a fossil of that leaf.
Oh, so it's not like the thing inside the impression is the fossil. It is the impression itself.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. My handprint in the sand is a fossil.
Correct.
My hand is not the fossil.
Exactly. Okay. Now, if your hand was cut off, we laid it in there, we then put another layer on top of it, and we did more layers and more layers, and then your hand, over time, gets each individual cell replaced with a cell of, or with a molecule of, say, silica. And that happens to every single entire thing. Your hand is no longer there. It's been replaced like Theseus's ship, one plank, one cell at a time. And then if we, at some point, wisp everything away, we can find the impression of your hand that now has been completely petrified by a different substance entirely.
So what do you call that substance? That's not a fossil, right?
No, that would be silica. That's rock.
So that's not considered a fossil.
It is. That's a fossil, but that is a petrification process.
So that's what happens to wood.
Exactly. So let's rewind for a second.
Okay.
If you have an impression...
I knew this was going to be a challenge for you. I'm so sorry.
Oh,
Casey.
Alex, this is great. I think we've gotten way further than your geology teacher.
I lasted 2 weeks in that class before just stopped going.
Oh, God.
I got an F.
Can I tell you something funny?
Yeah.
I have a dream. It's reoccurring, but not like scary reoccurring. That I'm in a, like going to school somewhere, like in college, and there's a math class that I've just not gone to.
I have that dream all the time.
For weeks, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so behind, I need to go to class, I'm going to fail everything, and then I forget about it even when I wake up.
Yes. Yeah. I have that dream where it's like the last week of the term, and I look at all of my papers, and I'm like, oh my God, I have an extra class I forgot about.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
And I've never been,
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God, I didn't know I wasn't the only one.
I used to have that a lot more right after I got out of school. I don't have it much anymore.
Yeah.
But damn, is that a terrible feeling? And I feel like that's happened to me IRL, like that, I put on a class because I need the credits or whatever, and I'm like, I don't give a shit about that class.
And
I'm
you
not gonna
forgot
go.
About it.
And I basically forget about it for 6 weeks, and I'm like, oh right, fuck,
you
I
know,
gotta go to that.
Alex, if you forget about it for 6 million years, it'll become a petrified class.
I'm petrified of that class.
Yeah, there you go. That's how it happens. Okay. We're going to rewind real fast.
All right.
The main types of petrification and fossilization are like this. Petrified fossils.
Mm-hmm.
Mold fossils. Cast fossils. Trace fossils. Body fossils. Carbon films. And true form fossils.
It all went straight in one ear and out the other. I'm
great.
Sorry.
We're only going to talk about the first few.
Okay.
So a mold is where you have something that falls into the bottom of the ocean, gets covered with sediment, and then that thing itself goes away. For whatever reason, maybe it just over millions of years dissolves and then gets washed away.
Mm-hmm.
Then if you uncover it millions of years later, you have this mold of what used to be there. That would be you put your hand into a place, and then when you uncover it, your hand is no longer there. It's gone away, but the mold of where your hand used to be is still there.
Right.
That would be a mold fossil.
So that's the type where you have to break it open to see the fossil, right?
Yeah.
Like people will break open rocks and be like, oh, there's a trilobite.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. That is usually a mold fossil. And that's like the famous ones you see when you see like a petrified leaf or stem or flower. That is a mold fossil.
Got it.
Now, if you do that exact same process, but instead that mold gets filled with something, then that's a cast fossil. And you just imagine this, if you make a mold of something, if you pour some plaster into it, then you get a cast from that mold. That's the exact same processes. So they're very closely related, but one is the what's left over from what used to be there. The other is the impression of what used to be there based on that first mold.
And in that latter situation, the cast is the fossil.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct. Now, petrification is a little bit different than both of those. It's like what we were talking about if we cut your hand off and put it into a thing, which you could probably call
that. I love this analogy.
Yeah, we're going to change it. We'll change it. And we'll use, how about we use wood as an analogy?
Yeah.
So that would be a body fossil if we cut your hand off. Probably all your skin would go away and it would just be your bones left
enough.
Over. Yeah. Sorry, Alex. Sorry. Anyway, this is too spooky for you.
I guess this is our Halloween episode.
It
we
is.
Need to get spooky.
But you just said you don't like Halloween, so I think it's fair that you're like, stop.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to keep going, but we're going to talk about wood now, Alex.
All right.
Okay, I got you on board. This isn't scary.
This is wood.
You can open your eyes.
Ah!
Yeah, welcome.
Casey's wearing a Frankenstein mask.
It's Trunkenstein, Alex. So a petrified fossil is where you have wood. Let's say it is a part of our tree that we're talking about today.
Yes.
Araucariozylon arizonica. And that tree is growing, it's having a great time, then all of a sudden a bunch of insects bore into it and kill it. It then falls over in some huge rainstorm. It hits this gigantic flowing river that's swelled up because this is such a huge rainstorm in this Pangaea area where there's this gigantic, the single largest river in the history of rivers on Earth.
Mm.
And it's flowing northwest. Finally, it hits this little area and it deposits a bunch of these old logs. Those logs probably got completely ripped apart. All the, you know, some bits were broken here. The roots were kind of, you know, ripped off. There's no bark left onto it because it kind of got sheared off because it just hit all these rocks on the way and all these things.
Yeah.
It lands in this area and it sinks to the bottom of this, this pond. A volcano erupts. 20,000 volcanoes erupt. They cover this whole place with ash. The ash slowly seeps down and it's very acidic. And so it ends up creating a space that has no oxygen in it. Again, you're underwater, so there's no oxygen really anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But now you have even less oxygen because there's no water even to speak of because the ash has completely covered up everything. Now you're just a log in a big piece of sediment.
Okay.
That's our scene.
Can I repeat that back to you?
Yes.
I am a piece of wood. Still wood.
Yep.
And I'm
hold on. We want to take this completely away from you. You're not wood. You're just watching this happen.
Come on. I want to be wood.
You said you didn't want it to be your body, and now
you're
making
your body.
No, I don't
want my hand chopped off over and over.
Okay.
But I want to be wood.
All right, Alex. You can be wood for
Halloween. By the way, I proposed putting my hand in the sand like a child might.
Yeah.
You are the one who proposed chopping it off and leaving it there.
Well, I... Yeah, right. Moving on.
I'm a piece of wood. And I'm at the bottom of a river.
Yeah.
And a million volcanoes blew up and I'm covered in ash.
Yes.
And it's compacted down.
Yeah.
So on one side of me I have a bunch of sand. And on one side of me, I have a bunch of ash, and I'm being squeezed.
Sure, yeah, yeah, exactly. And okay. I think the what's on one side versus the other,
not a detail
important.
I needed to add.
No, but it's totally fine. You just have all the sediment.
Yes, I'm covered in sediment. It's crushing me.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Now, you're strong enough that you're not getting crushed and compressed. It's also, there's not so much like big rocks and tectonic movements that you're actually getting compressed.
Okay.
That would end up turning you probably closer into a fossil, like a fossilized leaf, where it's completely compressed between two layers. In this case, you're just down there, you're just hanging out. There's all this stuff around you, but you are strong enough that you're just like holding your own space around you. Or holding your own space internally.
Oh, sure. Wood's a lot harder than leaf.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, now, put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Wood's a lot harder than leaf.
People would love that. I love that. So over the next several million years, you remain there. And when I say several, I mean approximately 220
million years.
Woof. You're just chilling there.
Do I have a book at least?
Yeah, you okay, you have a book.
Can I bring my iPad?
Yeah, but the book is the history of Rome.
Oh, well.
So it's
certainly a long read.
It certainly is, but it won't take you that long. It was only 2000 years.
Oh, sure.
So, anyway.
And this is 220 million.
You got a long time. You're going to have it memorized.
Just read a word a day.
Letter by letter.
Yeah.
So what happens is slowly but surely, water sinks through and dissolves some of the silica that's in this area.
Okay.
Silica is very easily dissolved into water. I was going to say digested, but I decided I needed to not say that. So it seeps through and it saturates every single tiny space inside and around your cells.
Okay.
All those cells will die, but wood, of course, is very strong, so even when it's dead, it maintains its shape.
Yeah.
All of this water slowly fills in the spaces between each individual cell.
Wow.
Then it fills, as those cells kind of dissolve and degrade and become essentially nothing, they are filled themselves, but in situ. So the actual cell wall of that plant part, this wood, xylem, will get filled up with a molecule of silica or another very closely related kind of molecule that's dissolved in the water.
So the cell walls remain.
Yes.
But the cell contents.
Well, the cell walls, everything, all the organic matter goes away.
But is replaced with silica.
Yes, with individual molecules that all get crystallized. And then over these 220 million years, every single organic piece of you, the log, is replaced with an actual piece of molecule of a real rock, essentially, silica.
Okay.
And that happens to every single bit. And then you are now just this individual, not log. Now you're a rock, and that rock is petrified wood. It's no longer wood. It is all these bits and parts placed exactly where the wood used to be, so it can keep an amazing amount of detail. There are some that even keep the cellular like details intact. So you can go back and you can say, wow, this tree is a part of the Araucariaceae. I can tell because the wood is exactly like the wood of the Araucariaceae, and I can see it to that detail.
Okay, because it's going molecule by molecule.
Exactly.
That's why you get that detail.
Exactly.
It's like pointillism.
Yeah, and you can look at little slabs of petrified wood that they've cut off and like looked under microscopes, and you would think you're looking at a piece of a small slab of wood that you cut off.
Right.
It's amazing.
Interesting.
And that is what happens, and then you get colors because different chemicals come in and they add different colors. So quartz is the thing that happens once silica kind of crystallizes. So you get these really shiny, like crystallized logs, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is a log, but it used to be, no, it is. Is it a log? Is it rock? And you don't know.
And then maybe iron turns it red
exactly.
or blue.
Precisely.
Okay.
And there's a bunch of other
jade
chemicals. I don't know. Well, I guess that's black, isn't
Amethyst?
It?
Amethyst?
Yeah.
I believe jade is green.
Ooh. No, that's emerald, and I think
aren't jades also green?
Alex, I'm not a geologist.
I'm using my Minecraft knowledge, to be honest.
Okay.
And like Stardew Valley.
Ooh. Well, honestly, I trust it. So yes, jade is green. I'm just gonna stick with it.
All right, jade is green.
Are you familiar now with the petrification process?
Yes, I believe I understand the petrification process.
All right, good. The only last thing to add.
Except I'm going to call it petrifaction because I want to be different.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I think that's more appropriate. And I think there's some geologist who's like, oh, thank you. Thank God.
Mm.
So the big thing that the only other thing to add is that for this to happen, all of these bits and parts need to be in an oxygenless environment.
Okay, why is that?
Because oxygen is what things use to respire. So anything that lives and breathes would attack that wood, colonize it, and eat it. So just like all of the decomposers we have today, they would all just go nom, 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 and just eat the any organic matter that's there.
Right.
So it has to be in a oxygen-free environment. That way nothing eats it and it just kind of sits there inert where there's no bacteria, there's no fungus, there's nothing that's eating it.
That's why, like, the mummification process is so effective because you put it down there with all the salt and sand. There's no air.
Exactly.
Right? Or maybe the salt kills bacteria. And
yeah, a little bit. There's also bacteria that totally love salt kind of things.
Oh.
But it's mostly the oxygen that if you are in a place that lacks any oxygen, then that really is the thing that does it. It's like pickling. It keeps things in situ for a really long time because the stuff that would degrade it doesn't live there.
I see. Well, Casey.
There you have it.
Oh, hey, I just thought of something. Before we move on to our review of the Rainbow Wood.
Yeah.
You mentioned up top that this is a conifer.
Yeah.
But we neglected to talk about the cone.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Should we do that now?
Alex, what do you mean? We can't.
Why, Casey?
Well, no one knows what it looks like, Alex.
But doesn't it grow a cone?
Well, yeah, all conifers grow cones.
Yeah.
But we've never found the cone of this conifer.
Why have we never found the cone of this conifer?
Alex.
Yeah?
Aren't you aware? This tree's been dead for millions of years. So our tree developed and grew at its height around 200 million years ago.
That's an old tree.
There are fossils of it all over the place.
Oh. We talked about ginkgos and Don Redwoods being living fossils because they exist today.
Exactly.
So this rainbow wood is sort of like that.
Exactly, exactly. Okay. Sort of.
What a twist!
Oh my God! Alex, you had no idea. I know. The listeners out there, did you not know either?
We should have an ad in our mid-roll for M. Night Shyamalan.
I would love that.
It's officially sponsored by him.
Alex, I can't believe we neglected to say this earlier.
Yeah, right.
This tree has been dead for millions of years.
That's
the only
right.
reason you can find it in Arizona today is because it is littered in its petrified form across Petrified National Forest National Park.
What a fantastic reveal, Casey.
It's not You're the fine. Name of that national park.
You're fine. What a reveal. This tree has been dead the whole time.
It's been dead the whole time, Alex.
Wow.
We've never found the cone. We don't exactly know what the leaves look like because this process of it being washed away that we imagined is exactly what everyone thinks happened.
Yeah.
So all of the small bits and parts have decayed away. Only those big logs that sunk down to the bottom, those are the only things that are left to find now.
That's right.
No other sediment from what used to be there, what was also deposited potentially in this area, none of it's been found.
That's right, Casey. The story of this petrified wood we've been telling, of this ancient tree that no longer exists, is the story of this week's tree, the rainbow wood.
That's exactly right, Alex.
Should we also say, we call it the rainbow wood because the petrification process of this wood imbued it with all sorts of beautiful colors.
I think we could say that,
So rainbow wood is what the petrified wood is called.
So it really should be rainbow rock.
That's a good point. But it is not an official common name because has no official common name.
In fact, Alex, I'm happy you brought that up. There is, in fact, not even an actual tree called Araucaria xylon arizonicum. This is a ghost of many trees.
This is the name of the fossil?
This is the name of the fossil, but there are maybe up to 16 or 20 different species of tree that they've found. But remember, we're only looking at the wood. So there are some that we're really easily able to tell apart. Woolworthia arizonica and Sheldaria adamantica, we can say, oh yeah, that's that one. But the actual Araucaria xylon arizonicum doesn't exist. It's not a real tree. Most of these are actually other trees, and they call them other things like Polisavanxanthe.
Whoa.
Polisavaxalon. Like Polisavaxalon daughterii, Polisavaxalon arizonicum, and Chinlera xylon Noltania.
I love the idea of you speaking Latin, but with your American accent.
Yeah, it's really hard.
It's really fun to listen to.
Casey has no idea what he's saying. These are three other scientific names that are extremely hard to pronounce.
Yes, geez.
That are of other species that are different. So basically, like, yeah, there's no one Araucaria xylon arizonicum. There's probably a bunch of other trees, but because we can't find any necessary means of identifying species of fossils, because you could just be seeing something that is different than everything else, but we don't know that that's one species. It could be like the other Araucarias. All the wood's exactly the same. So if you find the wood of 16 different species, you just know that they look all exactly the same. Maybe they're one species, maybe they're 16, maybe they're 20.
Interesting.
Yes.
Chills. Well, Casey, now if you go back and listen to this episode, you'll see that all the door handles are red. Casey, let's give our review of the Rainbow Wood.
Let's do it, Alex.
I want to put should we have an official asterisk next to this segment?
Ooh, I don't think so. I think, I guess maybe we could.
Let's not.
I don't think we should.
Here's how it works. We're going to give some final thoughts on this tree and give it a rating of 0 to 10 golden cones of honor. Some golden petrified cones.
Some golden dead cones.
That's right. Some golden cone fossils. How about that?
Of honor.
Honor. Casey, as our resident dendrochronological geologist.
Ooh,
we'll begin with you.
Thank you. That's my preferred title. I usually make that a DCCCR.
Yes. We're back in the DCCCR.
So this is a tree that as I'm reading through and I'm finding that, like, it as a scientific name, I also read a lot from this book called A Natural History of Conifers by Alyos Farjan, the, like, expert of conifers in the entire world. This book is really hard to read, even for
me.
And this is his popular science book.
Shit.
It's rough. But he talks a lot about the idea of taxonomy, because he's a taxonomist.
Ah.
And he's like, the name really doesn't matter. Like, it's an arbitrary name. We're just naming it because it's easy for us to organize. Mm. But if you change the name because it's more technically correct, it's like, this is a stupid arbitrary thing. Coming from a guy who, like, literally has his entire career doing the taxonomy of conifers, right? So he notes that this is a tree. He, again, is the one that calls it Araucaria xylon arizonensis, I believe, or arizonensis. Okay. So he would say, yeah, there is this tree. We know there's a tree that exists, that existed, that we are calling Araucaria xylon arizonicum. There are other trees that we have now just lumped underneath that name, and we're just now kind of studying it and really getting into it to figure out which ones are which. So the fact that this tree does exist, but as one thing doesn't exist, it's many different things.
This is like a creation myth. Like, every culture has its creation, or like a flood myth.
Oh, okay,
you know?
Yeah, okay.
Like, so many cultures have a flood myth.
Sure.
There was probably a cataclysmic flood at some point that every culture wrote myths about.
Yeah, which one was it exactly?
Right, and it's probably all the same flood.
I think it's fair. I think that's a fine metaphor to bring here.
Great.
So as a tree, I am just kind of like fascinated by this. Like, we've talked about historically, if you could go back in time, what part of what would you want to go see? This is the time that I would love to go see.
Mm.
See what these trees actually look like. We know that they could be 200 feet tall, for instance. We have no idea what their cones look like. We don't know what was growing on them. We know beetles went into them. We found their dead bodies and, like, these things.
Wow.
It's such a fascinating thing. But the tree itself is like this like super primitive Model T of the trees that we have right now. So I feel like
it's a real prototype.
It really is. It really is. And I kind of like, well, that's kind of fun. Good for that. So I think I'm going to give it a 6.5.
That feels good.
Oh. 6.8, because it's an exciting tree. It's no longer alive. So I feel like if I put it up, like, let's say the Don Redwood and the other Redwoods, we ranked very high.
This is where I put the asterisks in.
Yes, exactly. So this asterisk is like 4 points down, because it's a cool, cool tree. And the petrified wood, I've seen examples of it in the Wolverine petrified like zone in Utah. Mm. It's basically a little teeny tiny, quote, petrified forest where you can find big logs of these things all over the place. It's wonderful. Everyone should go and check it out.
Sounds cool.
It's in the, I think it's in the Bears Ears National Monument.
Bears Ears.
Yeah. It is. No, I'm sorry. No, it's in the Grand Staircase Escalante. It is the coolest thing to find and be like, this is a tree. I can anatomically tell you what's going on right here.
Mm.
I think that's fascinating as hell. It just blows my mind. But I got to take 4 points away because you know what? Didn't make it. Don Redwood's still here.
Wow,
just
man.
As old. Ginkgo's still here.
Rub
what's
it in.
What's the matter, Arcari's Island? Hmm?
Yeah.
So 4 points off for, you know, giving up.
Fair enough. So what did you land on?
6.8.
Okay.
Yeah, 6.8.
6.8 golden cones of golden petrified cones, golden fossilized cones.
Hard as a rock.
Of honor.
Yeah.
Hard as a rock.
Alex, is
Casey
our...
Clapp, hard as a rock. Like a rock.
All right, Alex, why don't we just move on to what you think?
All right. I haven't been reading A Song of Ice and Fire,
mm-hmm.
but I got this World of Ice and Fire book,
yeah.
which tells deep histories on mm. every aspect of that universe.
Yeah.
And I'm really interested in Valyria.
Okay.
Valyria was like the big, like, superpower.
Mm.
It was like the Roman Empire of Westeros for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Of Westeros or of...
Cause of
it
Essos.
Was, yeah, it was like it was above the Eastros, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I was using this at Westeros as a name for the general.
I see.
I wasn't being specific.
The Middle Earth of wherever the hell they
yes,
are.
Yes, the whole world, right? And then, like, it's gone now, and not a ton is still known about it.
Yeah.
You know, like, and the way it fell is really interesting. Like, mm-hmm. nobody knows really what happened. There was just, like, this big cataclysmic event.
Yeah.
So not a lot of, you know, documentation, I guess.
Yeah, okay.
It's kind of how I feel about this tree. It's, like, mysterious Ooh. And cool and ancient and, like... Ooh, it's like before any of the shit we know now.
Yeah.
And we don't have that many records, but the records we do have are really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and the Valyrians, they built their stuff out of stone, but they knew how to forge stone.
Oh,
with dragon fire.
I see. Yeah.
So it's like they would make intricate castle designs out of single pieces of stone.
Whoa.
So it's not like they build with stones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With bricks.
Yeah, I see. Yeah.
They just like carved stone with fire. It's really cool.
Anyway. Okay.
Cool guys.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Blood sorcerers. I give the Rainbow Wood like a real like an asterisked 7.0.
Great.
It feels good to me.
I think it's reasonable.
Yeah. And Casey, all I have to say before we move on, I see dead trees. Casey, it's time for a game.
Alex, I'm ready. What have we got today?
But it's also time for our completely arbitrary Q&A.
Whoa!
That's
Hold
right.
on. Is this a a mashup?
This is a double segment twirling around itself.
Wow, like a spiral galaxy.
That's right, Casey. This okay. is the double helix of segments.
Wow, the DNA. Okay, all right, Alex, I'm excited. What do we got?
Our question this week comes from JJ Rodriguez from the Patreon.
JJ?
JJ asks, Alex and Casey, if you could create a Frankenstein tree, what would it be?
Wow.
And Casey, we're going to answer that question in the form of a game. This is Trunkenstein's Monster.
Oh my god.
All right, so here's how it works, Case.
Okay, what do we got?
You and I are going to go back and forth.
Okay.
Take turns.
Okay.
Choosing one element.
Okay.
Of each type of tree characteristic.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, I will start choosing my favorite bark from any tree.
Okay.
Then you will go and you will choose a leaf, a type of leaf from a specific species of tree to go on this Trunkenstein's monster.
I see.
And at the end, we will bring it to life, not with electricity. That'll burn it.
Yes.
We'll water it. We'll do it with water.
We'll add fungus to it.
That's right.
Yeah, okay. All
Some
right,
mycorrhizal
gotcha.
Fungi.
Yeah, this is a long-form process.
Thanks for sticking with us, folks. So, Casey, let's begin our experiment.
All right. First off, I'd like you to call me K. Seagore. Thank you.
And I will be...
Dr. Alex.
Sure.
Dr. Alex
Krosenstein?
Krosenstein.
Dr. Okay. Krosenstein and K. Seagore.
Hello.
This is a nice twist. Usually in our dynamic, you would be the doctor and I would be the freakish assistant.
Yeah, I see. I'd be the freakish assistant, says Alex Croson. Okay.
You know, he did, that character didn't actually exist in the original novel.
Really?
Yeah, as far
just
as I know.
Just add him in there.
Yeah.
That was an iconic character.
For sure.
All right.
Iconic. He had a hump.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
Okay, Casey. So we have a few categories here.
All right.
We have overall morphology.
Okay.
Bark, leaf, flower, and fruit.
Okay.
So let's do rock, paper, scissors to see who goes first.
Okay.
Ready?
I'm ready.
Let's do rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Okay.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Shoot.
I did scissors. Casey did paper.
I did paper.
Like a classic tree fan, you did paper.
What a dummy.
So I'll begin with overall morphology.
Okay.
And I think this might be an easy one for me.
Ooh, what are you going to choose?
I am going to go...
Gotta use my imagination for this, Alex.
With the morphology of a European beach.
Oh, a European beach. Okay, hold on a second.
Okay, Casey is getting a pen. He is getting a piece of paper. Oh, Casey, great idea. Casey will be drawing our Trunkenstein's monster.
If I don't draw it, Alex, I don't think I can fully, like, think about it.
For sure. You know, Trunkenstein's actually the name of the monster, not the doctor.
Oh, my God.
Wait, I fucked that up. You know, Trunkenstein's actually the name of the doctor.
No, the name of the doctor is Krosenstein, okay?
Oh,
the name
yeah.
of the monster is Trunkenstein.
Should it not be Krosenstein's monster?
No, I think Krosenstein's monster named Trunkenstein.
Oof.
Yeah, there's a lot of steins in here.
I choose European beech for the overall morphology of this tree. It's wide, it's tall, it is thick, but it's not like wider than it is tall. It's definitely taller than it is wide. It's a big, fat cylinder, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's very, very, very big, kind of open, but not too open.
Yes. You can see that it goes up. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
It's also thick and wide like a broadleaf tree.
Exactly. This is what I have drawn so far.
Okay, Casey. I can't really see that.
Okay, don't worry about it. It's very good, Alex.
I trust you. Okay, Case, it is your turn to put bark on this barkless European beech formed tree.
Okay. Here is what I imagine. So the beech, European or otherwise, famous for very smooth bark. Ain't having that here today.
Of course, we
this
can't.
This is Trunkenstein.
Yeah.
Trunkenstein's going to have the bark of a K-pop tree.
Okay.
Kapok.
Is that related to K-pop in any way?
I believe so. I believe it is actually 100% K-pop.
The official tree of K-pop?
That's exactly right, yeah. no, Alex, no. This is actually a tree that's of a tropical / subtropical variety. The scientific name of the one I'm thinking of is going to be Sepia pentendra.
Mm.
It doesn't have to be. I just like Sepia as a tree. Many people will know this as a tree that grows on the streets of, say, L.A. and has these big fruit that look kind of like an avocado, but then when they kind of rip open, little, like, very fuzzy, flat seed pods kind of fall out.
Interesting.
But the thing is...
But we're not using those.
We're not using those.
Just the bark.
We're using the bark. The bark is covered in giant spikes.
Hell yeah.
Like, it looks like, you know, if you see, like, a really hardcore punk person, they have, like, a bunch of spikes and, like, studs sticking out of their know, neck things and their coats and things.
Yeah.
That's what they look like.
All right.
Yeah, but some of them are, like, an inch and a half long.
Hey, you know what? Trunkenstein is taking back the pitchfork.
Yes. Thank you, Alex. Yeah. That's the kind of bark I want of a K-pop tree.
Wonderful, Casey. So we have beech form and K-pop spiky bark.
Yeah.
Next, I get to choose a leaf, and boy, am I excited about this.
All right, Alex, I'm very, very curious what you're going to choose.
The first thing that comes to mind... Oh, I've got a couple, Casey, but I'm gonna pick one, I promise.
Okay.
I love bipinnately compound leaves.
Obviously, they're incredible.
I also love catalpa leaves. I may love catalpa leaves more than I love bipinnately compound leaves.
Where are you going with this, Alex? This is frightening. Don't do it.
Can I make a Trunkenstein's monster of leaves to put on this Trunkenstein?
Absolutely.
Okay. I will take catalpa leaves and I will make them bipinnately compound, and I will put those on Trunkenstein's monster.
Holy shit. Alex, are you kidding me?
And that, you know, the beach is big, right? So our form is big.
Yeah.
So we got plenty of space for big leaves.
It's huge.
So I'm talking like a, you know, maybe an arm's length, maybe a 3-foot leaf with leaflets coming out, bipinnately compound leaflets in the size of catalpa leaves.
Oh my God.
How about that?
That is, that's the biggest leaf I can even imagine.
We're building the ultimate shade tree here.
How?
So we're talking
that's
like
huge.
Elephant ear size,
yeah,
not like the carnival treat.
Multiple elephant ears coming off of multiple elephant ears.
That's what I'm saying.
That is out of this world.
Yeah. This is Trunkenstein, baby.
I can't draw that, Alex. That's too big.
Trinsylvania.
Trinsylvania.
Ooh. Transylvanica.
Yeah, that'll be the scientific name.
Yeah. All right, Casey, now that we've chosen a wacky leaf, it's time.
I can't even draw that, Alex. That's so hard.
Don't worry about it. I'll make a bad Photoshop. Everybody will love it.
No, that's great.
It's time for you to pick the flower that we will be putting on this Trunkenstein's monster. Flower.
Oh, flower.
Power.
Flower power. Now, I will note the flower is followed by fruit. And flower denotes that it would be a broadleaf tree, which this is a broadleaf tree. But I feel like a Trunkenstein's monster wouldn't be... I'm sorry. I feel like a Krosenstein's monster Trunkenstein...
Oh, sure.
...would not follow traditional, how do you say, botanical lines.
Should we add a cone to the mix?
I don't think so, because if a cone is a fruit, that can go either way. But a flower...
This is Trunkenstein.
Exactly,
we can do whatever
it doesn't
we want.
Have it. So I think I'm what? Going... Yeah.
It can if we add it.
But they're different things.
It doesn't matter.
You're right. Okay, okay.
They could have put a fox's tail on Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah, it's true. And it would have been weird, making them furry.
Kind of horny.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, whoa, Trunkenstein.
Go ahead and pick a flower.
All right. So I'm going to choose, does it have to be from a tree explicitly?
No, it can be whatever you want. It just has to be a flower.
I want a corpse flower.
Oh, wow, Casey.
Yeah.
Now we're getting there.
Now we're doing it. Wow. For those of you who don't know, the corpse flower is, I think it's the biggest of all flowers, or like one of the biggest. It's something crazy like that.
I'd buy that. Titan arum.
Yeah, that's right. And when it blooms, wow, which is like once in a great while, it is the smell of a dead corpse.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's very intense.
All right. Well...
I think that's okay, right? If it's not necessarily a tree,
I think it's perfect.
All right, thank
it's
you.
It's so on the nose that it's actually kind of clever.
Yes.
All right, Casey. Last but not least,
okay,
the fruit,
Alex. This is on you. This would be your finest moment. Whatever you think is the best thing to create new little Trunkensteins at a certain distance away from the original Trunkenstein so that they don't compete necessarily with each other.
Wow.
But will procreate to make another Trunkenstein.
That's the sequel, Bride of Trunkenstein.
The Bride of Trunkenstein.
And then the third in the trilogy is Trunkenstein's, the son of Trunkenstein or whatever.
Yeah, well, Trunkenstein
Jr.
Yeah, the Bride of Trunkenstein, it's just a pine tree. There's nothing to it.
With a white streak through its limbs. Yeah. I want Trunkenstein to grow mangoes.
To grow mangoes?
Yeah.
You know what? I love that, and here's why. If everyone's looking at it like, oh my God, it smells like a corpse.
Mm-hmm.
Look at it. Its leaves are so huge. Is that a mango?
Yeah,
I love
exactly.
Mangoes. All right, Trunkenstein can stay.
Oh, it's kind of nice.
It's kind of nice.
But here's how I want them to grow. Okay. I want them to grow as aggregates of fruits, much like a berry.
Oh, okay.
Like a raspberry.
So there's like many multiples of them.
Yes. Imagine like a big, compact bunch of mangoes, and doesn't have mango skin. It has like like the membrane on the outside of a raspberry, right?
Oh, okay.
But just barely containing the sweet mango fruit and juice.
I see. So you don't have to try. Like,
no, you can just take it. It's like the size of a basketball.
You can like squeeze it and like have them pop out at you.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you just toss them in your mouth or take a couple bites, but careful, they're messy.
You're going to get maybe potentially a little bit of a reaction if you eat too many.
That's true. But there's no skin, and that's what people get the reaction from.
Oh, that's true. Okay, that's reasonable. Wow. Man. Yeah. Okay. So let's go over this again.
Yes.
We have the size and the form of a European beach.
That's right.
Gorgeous and elegant, covered in the leaves of a bipinnately normal sized catalpa leaf.
Yes.
Well, okay, I should rephrase that. It's the individual leaflets are the size of a catalpa leaf bipinnately organized.
Correct.
Oh.
So the leaves are huge.
Yes. If you want to get close to it and climb it, you can't. It's covered in kapok thorns.
Yes.
It's like you have a punk rock belt going up every bit of the bark.
That's right.
The flowers are a corpse flower.
Gross.
Some of the largest flowers in the entire world smells horrifically like dead things, pollinated by flies, of course. Mm. And the fruit is an aggregate of mangoes with thin skin that you don't even have to try to get off.
That's right, Casey.
This is a Trunkenstein like I've never heard before.
Now, Casey, let us take our little Trunkenstein's monster.
Yep.
Go out to the village square mm-hmm. where there's a bear garden patch.
Okay. Let's plant
it. Put the little seedling in the ground.
Yep.
Some water.
Yep.
Cover the dirt up to the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
And
with the trunk flare exposed, of course.
With the what?
When you plant trees, you don't want to put soil up to the trunk. You just want to leave the trunk flare exposed where the stem goes down and, and becomes the roots. You want that to be exposed.
Got it.
Yeah.
And you know what we say to the villagers? He's your problem now.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. What's our scientific name here? We got to come up with one of these.
Oh my God. Well, I feel like it would be named after the flower.
I think. Okay. So.
Grandiflora.
Grandiflora.
Or Mortiflora, flower.
Okay, Mortiflora. How about Treesylvania Mortiflora?
Can we do Treesylvatica?
Treesylvatica. Yeah.
Treesylvatica Grand Mortiflora.
Yeah.
Treesylvatica Mortiflora.
Disgusting.
Amazing. That was Trunkenstein's Monster. Casey Klatt, hey, if you've got a question for the pod, hop on that old Patreon, patreon.com/arbitrarypod. Join the Quercus and Alder tier, that's Q&A, and ask us your question. You can also join the Cone of the Month Club at $10 a month and get a unique die-cut cone sticker illustrated by an independent artist sent to you every month. Decorate your water bottle. Give them as a gift. Give them to your friend's kids.
Give them to your friend's kids' kids.
Yeah, babies having babies. Or join Arbitrary Plus, our brand new live stream tier. You get to watch Casey and I once a month live stream about all kinds of things.
That's exactly right.
And you get to watch me stream a tree or nature-themed video game once or a couple times a month. Exactly. I like it so much I might do it more.
Hey, there you go. It's a lot of fun.
It was the first one was a great time.
Yeah.
I played Strange Horticulture, mm-hmm. speaking of Trunkenstein's monster.
There you go, yeah.
Casey Clapp.
Alex Croson.
Happy Halloween, my friend, and happy birthday, Alex.
Exactly. To all of you out there who are celebrating, have a happy spooky day.
That's right.
And remember, if you see a tree, it might be dead for millions of years.
Hey, you know what? I wonder if this podcast even exists. Do you think this podcast has been dead the whole time?
Alex, who are you talking to?
Oh my God. Thank you so much for listening to this dead podcast. Completely arbitrary. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Au revoir. Completely Arbitrary is produced by Alex Croson and Casey Clapp.
Our artwork is by Jillian Barthold, and our music is by Aves and the Mini Vandals.
And you can support the podcast at patreon.com/arbitrarypod.
And find additional readings at completelyarbitrary.com. Thanks for listening.